The Work You Should Be Doing Until Jesus Comes, Part 4. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not shocked, we are not surprised, we are not taken aback, because we're not ignorant at the devices of the devil. He hates the fact that I preach your holy gospel every day, and more it seems to me, Lord, that you're moving upon my heart to do it every day until the day I die, and lead me and guide me as you see fit, with little breaks in between. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage, and foolishness out of the hearts and minds of the lives of those people who have that issue and they know who they are. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his host, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage, Lord, from this place, and Lord, in the lives of the saints who are watching and participating around the world, and those who come each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us who are saved and born again and who are sensitive to any evil in our lives. For people who are lost, they are not sensitive to the evil in their lives. They're not convicted. They don't see anything wrong with it, doing evil and doing evil to others. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us in the path and in the way that you would have us, Lord, to go throughout this evening and throughout this message, throughout this service. Glorify your holy name. And we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your grace, by the power of your holy gospel, your holy word, your Holy Spirit, And we pray for over 3 million Christians who are backslidden to be reclaimed by your might, your power, your grace, and the power of your Holy Spirit and your holy word being preached. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, this message is titled, The Work You Should Be Doing Until Jesus Comes, Part 4. May God help us all to do that work. Even though it is late tonight, some of us are going to go out and do some of that work that needs to be done. And that is to compel people to Jesus. Not just to your church, but to Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight in our last message, we saw how the master, after having his initial invitations to the banquet rejected, sent his servant to go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. These were the people that none of the religious upright and uptight crowd would have wanted to sit with them at the banquet anyway. These are they who look down their nose at people who have defects, who have problems, who have issues, the blind, the sick, the feeble-minded. What a tragedy that is. They represented the outcast and the unclean members of Jewish society. The religious Jews, the one who attended synagogue every week and studied the law and the prophets, should have been eager to sit at the master's banquet. And they should have been humble about it, like George H.W. Bush, who has died and has gone home to be with the Lord, who had been blessed to be raised in a good family, in a well-to-do family, became a millionaire in his own right. One of the marks of George Bush Sr., if you will, was that he was a humble man. And by the grace of God, he lived a pretty good life. He was not perfect, and he would say that. And if George Bush was invited to this table, he probably would have come and humbled himself and ate the meal and enjoyed the time with the people, and then left and sent back a thank you note for the invitation. Amen, somebody. But these proud, arrogant Jews, the religious Jews, who have been blessed with everything and gifted, refused. They despised God's good gift and made excuses for why they couldn't attend. We should not pass over the fact, my beloved, that the terms poor, maimed, crippled, and blind were, in the eyes of many Jews, code words for sinful. Just like we have code words today in our society. We call them dog whistles. These were nice words to the religious crowd. Instead of calling them sinful, no good dogs, the Jews of that day firmly believed, of course, that such misfortunes as so many of us super wonderful Christians do today, misfortunes fell upon those who had sinned or who were suffering as a result of the sin of their parents. And that is not always the case, even though there are cases when that is the issue. But that is not always the case. So the master, in effect, sends his servant to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance, to the banquet. However, the servant returns from this round of invitations that no doubt are eagerly accepted to find that the banquet hall is still not full. And this is not so much the problem of the sinful people not wanting to come. In my view, this is a problem of the sinful servant not getting after the lost souls, if you will, like so many of us in the church today. More people would be saved today if more Christians would simply get out of their little churches and their little coffee groups and their little Bible studies and get out of the salt shaker into the world, as one writer put it, and tell somebody about Jesus. If every Christian would witness to somebody about Jesus and pass out gospel literature and invite people to church, if everybody did those three things, we can see millions saved in one day. Because you say, preacher, how is that? Because the field is white under harvest already. God has already told us that. But the laborers are few. People who really get after it, to use a Como word, people who get after it, who flat get it done, the go-getters. We all love to come to church and hear the music and be soothed in our sin and watch the choir rock and the praise group rock and show off in their scintillating clothes, waving their unholy hands in the air. And we love to see the pageantry of the circus services that we have today. And some new thing that's happening today, some comedian coming by, or some clown, or some carnival that some churches have where they throw apples and balls at the pastor and dunk them under the water, and to the amusement of the wicked backslidden church. And it is so sad. Instead of people going after lost souls, leading people to Jesus, where is the Christian ambulance? I assure you, if we had one, it would be busy all day long, 24/7. Rescuing the perishing, caring for the dying. Amen, somebody. Let the lower lights be burning. So the master says to him, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in, urge them, lovingly persuade them to come in, help them to see the danger for not coming in, that my house may be filled. Did you know the soul-winning church, the witnessing church, does not have a problem filling their pews? It's the dead and dying churches and pastors who just love seeing each other 33 and no more, 34 and no more, not caring for the dying in their community. Because they want a signature church, a certain kind of church. The white and up and out, the blacks and up and outs. You don't want the maimed, you don't want the wheelchair bound, you don't want the blind, people who have problems. They used to call the church the spiritual hospital, but we only want well people now. When Jesus made it clear, he wanted us to seek those who needed to be saved, those who were sick and who needed healing. Those in the highways and hedges were representative of the Gentiles, if you will. Those outside the Jewish beloved community. And Dr. John Gill writes very clearly, since the Jews put away the word of eternal life from them and judged themselves unworthy of it by their contradicting and blaspheming it, the master commanded his servants to turn from them to the Gentiles. Glory be to God. I say glory be to God because, my beloved, that means that that's how I got saved. A wretched, no good, and on top of that, a black Gentile. One day, because of Jesus saying, go to the Gentiles. One day, because of God leading Paul and Peter to open up the door of the gospel to the Gentiles years ago, this black Gentile got saved December the 19th, 1979, on his way to a devil's hell, and should have been in hell tonight if it had not been for the grace of God. The Gentiles might be said to be in the highways, down in the hood, because they were outside of the commonwealth and, if you will, the church of the Jews. They were not admitted to civil conversation nor to religious worship, and were left to walk on in their own ways and in their own devising and choosing. And many of the religious Jews liked it that way. They walked in their own highway, the broad road to destruction, either following the various sects of the philosophers or going into different practices of idolatry. The hedges denote their state of separation from God, being alienated from his life and afar off from his, from him, and strangers from the covenants God made with the Jews. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the master, who is representative of Christ in this parable, tells his servant to compel those in the highways and hedges to come in, the black people, the white people, the red people, the yellow people, everybody, the sick, the poor, the maimed, the blind. I want them all at my supper. That is the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Jesus died for the black man. Jesus died for the red man. Jesus died for the yellow man. And Jesus died for the white man. We have our little prejudices, our little racism and prideful mess going on this earth, but God loves everybody. Amen, somebody. The Greek word translated as compel is a strong term, which means to necessitate, to entreat, to strongly encourage or to constrain, to persuade somebody. It is our job as servants to lay upon those outside of the family of God the great urgency of the invitation. Why? Because they may never get another chance to accept the invitation. There is plenty of room at the Master's table. However, as with the Jews who were initially invited, the invitation will not be extended forever. For the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that God will not always strive with man. As the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, God will not always strive with man. We must compel them, Jews, Gentiles, and sinners alike, to come in by any means necessary. Stop being concerned about yourself only. Stop being just concerned about your family, and sadly some are not even concerned about their family. Be concerned about others. Witness to others. Pass out gospel literature. Tell others about Jesus. Invite them to the house of God. Compel them to come in. Don't just hold both things up at this point. Hold both things up. Just leave that alone. Just hold both things up right now. Where's the other one at? Those of you who are listening and you missed a little bit because of the devil's attack, don't worry about it. I'm sure you heard the message, and you'll be fine, and everything will be fine. The point is of this message, compel lost people to come to Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Let the lower lights be burning. Rescue the perishing and care for the dying. For as we said many years ago from the Word of God, if we don't do it, the blood will be required at our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles B. Whitmire wrote many years ago, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doeth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire, thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Jesus, my beloved, has a table spread. Come and dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine, for the table is set all the time for now. Let's pray. Holy Father God, let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for setting the table for all to come and dine, red, yellow, black, and white, for we're all precious in your sight. The Jews and the Gentiles can come and dine. You have set the table, you have suffered and you bled, and you have died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, and we thank you for all that you have done for us. Now all we have to do is come and dine. We don't have to pay any money. We don't have to join a church. We don't have to get baptized. We don't have to go through a ritual. We don't have to give any money to anybody. All we have to do is come to you and dine. Trust in Christ as our Savior. Repent of our sins and pray. And ask you to save us. Lord, we pray that many would do that tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in him, because, ladies and gentlemen, he is coming again and you do not want to be left behind. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and the consequences of sin. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. Our body goes to a grave because of sin. As good as George Bush Sr. was, he died because of sin in his body. As good as Mother Bush was, the mother of one of the mothers of our nation, a great lady, a wonderful wife, a wonderful mother, she died as beautiful as she was because of sin in her body. And we all carry this disease called the sin disease, and so we all must die. This is a very serious statement. Many people don't get serious about it until late in life. But it's a serious matter. You're living today, but you will die one day. And you will die because of the sin disease. You are a sinful person. You have a sinful nature. And it destroys everything about us. And one day you will end up in a grave because of your sins. Your body will. Your soul will go to hell if you do not trust Christ as Savior. It's just as simple as that. Just like you expect and want criminals to go to jail, no matter how pretty they might be, or how handsome they might be, or how educated they might be, or established and well-to-do or accomplished. There's something on the inside of us that demands justice if they have committed crimes against society. And we don't care how old they are. We're putting people in jail who are 83 years old, 85, 90, for crimes they committed in Europe during World War II. Well, we've committed crimes against God, and we must go to jail if we don't trust in his attorney, our lawyer, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died as the sacrificial lamb of God for the entire world, who has taken away our sins. He has paid our sin debt so that we will not go to the jail of hell. All we have to do is believe in him. and trust him as our Savior. So accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." If you're saying tonight, "Well, I'm sure George Bush Sr. went to heaven as good as he lived," then you have the wrong idea. I'm getting ready to shock you. I love George Bush Sr. I love the life that he lived. But if George Bush Sr. never trusted Christ as Savior and he depended upon his good works, he's in hell tonight. I hope to God, like the cartoonist brought out today, that he's in heaven up there with his wife and his daughter. I know the daughter's there, but they may not be there if they never trusted Christ as Savior and they depended upon their good works. Your good works cannot save you, because we have the disease of sin running through our veins. Hell is a very serious matter. Hell is a sad matter, and hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said himself, and by the way, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers today. Jesus Christ preached more on hell when he was here than he did about heaven. But he said these words so that you and I can be saved from hell. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. All you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul. He paid your sin debt. And all you have to do is trust in him and pray and ask him to save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer as someone led me so many years ago. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. For I have broken your Ten Commandments, and I know that I deserve the jail of hell. Have mercy and grace upon my soul, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive me of all of my sins and save my soul, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you're now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, which will be, if the Lord tarries, his coming tomorrow. God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.